Hi, you're listening to Talking About Organizations, a podcast about management and organization studies brought to you with the support of the ICON Research Center at the University of Warwick. To check out some of the cool research that they do and some of the amazing events that they hold, please go to our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com and scroll down a bit to find a link to their website. This is a summary of episode 20, where we held two discussions broadly grouped under the umbrella title of High Reliability in Practice. And my name is Dimitris, currently in the University of Sussex, which is in Brighton, UK. So the nominal reading for episode 20 was an article by Carl Weick and Carlene Roberts from 93 on collective mind in organizations. The article essentially asked a question like, how do complex, high-risk organizations manage to work safely and reliably? This is similar to what we already tackled in episode 11, actually late in season 1. Anyway, to answer this, Weick and Roberts went aboard a US Navy Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, where they observed how the flight deck crew launches and recovers aircraft. I guess they figured that if they were to study a complex, high-risk organization, then it's that is also very reliable. Why not go for a floating airfield packed with tons of explosives that launches and recovers high-performance jets at an alarming pace? So to do this, to answer this question, Weick and Roberts came aboard USS Carl Vincent aircraft carrier, and guess who was there to welcome them? Commanding Officer Rear Admiral Tom Mercer. And thanks to Ralph, we managed to get in touch with Tom, and he joined us for part one of the discussion. So definitely listen to that if you haven't yet. It's unique, doesn't even begin to describe that. So Tom was gracious enough to join us for the full length of the recording, but unfortunately part two of the discussion was taken from us by the dark spirits of the internet. I think this is probably because someone from the podcast forgot to make them an offering or something. I'm not sure. But anyway, this is why the episode consists of two separate discussions. One, more general but full of amazing nuggets of insight with Tom, myself, and Ralph. And another, between myself and Ralph, where we focus more closely on Weick and Roberts' article, as well as attempts to outline how one might begin to make an organization highly reliable. So if this is something that you're wondering, it might be worth taking a look. Some of the themes that we discussed the most in part one include being responsible for two different organizations under the same roof, but managing only one of them, the importance of cross-training, and the impact of the top manager on a highly reliable organization, as well as the so-called management by negation. Tom also gave some concrete examples of particular tools that are used to keep the tabs on the performance of the organization and some of the ways in which falling performance is reversed and improved. In part two, me and Ralph focused on the three core themes presented in the article by Weick and Roberts, which are contributions, representation, and subordination. And I will go over each of these later in the summary. So let's talk about part one with Tom Mercer first. One of the first things that Tom said was that as a commanding officer of an aircraft carrier, not only did he have authority over a huge organization of 3,000 people, but he was also responsible for about 3,000 more who came aboard with the air wing. This immediately presents a very interesting organizational problem. How does one manage two distinct, equally huge organizations that are not only co-located but also completely interdependent? Well, one of the ways in which this is accomplished is via cross-training. Tom mentioned that one of the key prerequisites for his position was both the experience of being an accomplished aviator and a qualified nuclear reactor operator, like our very own Ralph. There are many reasons for this, but some of the key ones center on that such a senior executive of a high-risk, highly reliable organization has to have the knowledge and the appreciation of both parts of the equation, if you will. Tom said that this allows people in those positions of responsibility to know how far they can push their organization, as well as what is possible and what isn't. This ensures that organizational systems and procedures do not fail as a result of an overly ambitious and demanding CEO. And of course, a recent case of the Volkswagen's emissions scandal certainly comes to mind here. And then, of course, there is a matter of legitimacy. being in charge of two organizations, the subject functions of which are as different as sailing and flying, which is pretty different, is bound to generate numerous situations where people encounter misunderstandings amongst each other. We know this from the literature, and especially from the work of one of the good friends of the podcast, Professor Paul Carlisle, who wrote on the interdisciplinary boundaries. In fact, some of my own published work touches upon this as well. And much of what the literature suggests as solution to the actual and potential interdisciplinary misunderstanding between people has to do with either developing a commonly accepted specialist language, using compatible equipment and various communicative objects, also known as boundary objects, or simply transcending situations of conflict altogether. Now, in the case of high reliability situations, however, the landscape of solutions is a bit different. As we discussed in episode 11, high reliability organizations are fairly rigid with regards to their vertical organization. They make a big deal of keeping clear lines of authority, accountability, and communication, all the while listening to and incorporating individual experiences, which is one of the aspects that distinguishes them from traditionally bureaucratic structures. Because of this, it is easy for a high reliability organization to rally around the executive manager at the top, just as it is relatively easy for that manager to quickly communicate all the way down or to the frontier of the organization in any direction. Having executive managers who are relatable to the broader organization and who can easily relate to the experiences and trainings of one another certainly goes a long way to reducing the kinds of behaviors that would generate miscommunications and conflict among the employees. Tom summed this up by saying that had he not been an accomplished combat aviator with service history of flying of aircraft carriers, not least during the Vietnam War, he would have, in Tom's own words, no legitimacy among the 3,000 employees whom he did not manage directly, so the people who come on board with the airplanes. The expected benefit of having cross-trained and ambi-experienced commanding officer is not, however, as Ralph pointed out during the episode, that he or she would be able to tell how many turns of the wrench one needs to do to tighten a bolt somewhere, but that this person is able to provide operational perspective based on many years of experience and understanding of the risks, and of course would frame things in proper context for the people so that they have a better idea of where they fit and where their work fits with the wider organization. Communication and, I guess, something like awareness was another key aspect of making an organization highly reliable. Tom described how he would sit through the night waiting for airplanes to return and then make sure that each landing was performed error-free. The function of communication in such situations is to ensure that everybody knows who they are working for, and part of this is being able to rely on subordinate heads of relevant departments and letting them do what they do best, which is their respective jobs. Carl Weick actually proposed a term for this sort of management style, which is deference to expertise, which means that that even though Tom was very much in charge and responsible for the safety and operations of his organization, he delegated responsibility, but not accountability, which is important, to the lowest practical level and relied solely on the technical expertise throughout the organizational chain of operations. Now, the whole thing about deference to expertise that is done by senior leaders in highly reliable organizations is also a, as you can imagine, a fine line to walk. Basically, you don't want people to, or rather, you want people to know that you're paying attention to what they do and to what, to how they contribute, and that you're present. But you don't want to have a situation where people are waiting for you to tell them what to do whenever you just happen to arrive into their general vicinity. So the appropriate management style there is what I referred to earlier as management by negation. This is very interesting, and management by negation means that the senior leader is still in charge in any situation that they may enter, but that they wouldn't normally tell people what to do. Instead, the senior leader would tell them if they were making a mistake or if they ought to have been doing something different. And the reason for this is that as a senior manager, you don't want people waiting around for directions, because then what happens is that the entire organization basically, as Ralph put it, becomes based around your IQ, which states that micromanaging negates cognitive contributions of everyone else in the organization, and you just have a bunch of minions, equally destructive as the cartoonish ones, I would suspect. So these are some of the main themes that we covered in part 1 of episode 20, and Tom also spoke of the importance of perpetual training and gave details of some concrete tools used to measure and adjust performance. One of them is the Greeny board. Look it up if you're interested, or just listen to the episode. In part 2, Ralph and myself paid closer attention to the actual paper by Wyck and Roberts. Specifically, we focused on the three main lines of argument, which stated that a highly reliable organization has three elements to it. These are contribution, representation, and subordination. Contribution refers to individual actions of people. A representation refers to an understanding of how these actions fit together on a group level. And subordination refers to how group actions fit into the operating of the broader organization. So you have these three levels gradually building one on top of another. And one of the things that we took note of quite early in our discussion was exactly this, basically, that these three elements appear to reflect a developmental sequence of what a highly reliable organization might need to undergo. Not only did this make perfect sense to us, it also strongly resonated with many of the things that Tom said in part one. And if you think about it, it basically goes like this, that employees entering an organization have to have a basic competency in performing the things that they need to perform, so they need to have the skill set. This allows them to begin operating as a group and to develop group-level understandings and routines for the application and development of their existing skills that they acquired through training. This then allows them, the groups, to interact with one another, all the while maintaining a mutual understanding of what it is that they bring to the table and why each job that they do matters. And if you couple that with employee rotation and cross-training, then you've pretty much got yourself a decent foundation for a highly reliable organization. Something Ralph pointed out is that many manufacturing organizations especially seem to compare their operations to the operations of highly reliable systems and think, oh, this seems complicated, but really you sort of have to go through these three steps to establish the foundations for something that would eventually, with the proper administration, become a highly reliable system, because there's also culture at play and all the things that we discussed in episode 11. In the paper, Wyck and Roberts also make an important distinction that adds really to what I just said. Specifically, they introduce the criteria of careful versus careless performance, not just effective or ineffective. And this is an important interpretative device, or at least I found it extremely helpful in understanding what's the deal with high reliability. As talking about systems and performances as careful or careless helps not to forget that organizations are performed by individuals, not just assemblages of technologies that can be, you know, hypothetically engineered for higher or lower performance. Kind of thinking back to the Modern Times classic by Charlie Chaplin. And care is thus a very important word to keep in your managerial vocabulary. And there are, of course, many more things that we discussed in both parts of the episode, as there are many things that we did not discuss, because this is just a really amazing paper that I definitely highly recommend that you read, and you can find the link to it on the episode page on our website. And that's all for episode 20. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the summary and found it to be of value. Definitely recommend you listen to at least part one if you're short on time to get to hear from Tom. Please get in touch with us via our website or any of the social media accounts and let us know what you think of us, if there's something we could improve, or if you have any suggestions for readings or guests maybe. And, you know, we're always keen to hear from you. And please share the podcast with your friends, colleagues, and students to get more people talking about organizations. We noted that with increasing frequency, the podcast is getting hits from internal university websites, and that it's being used in some of the postgraduate and undergraduate courses in some really excellent institutions. So if you're listening and you're doing that, a special thank you. Get in touch again. Maybe we'll put something together. And next week we have something special planned. I am going to be joined by one of our newest podcast hosts, Ella, and two special guests to talk about the benefits and challenges of solving large-scale problems with small-scale research. Next week on Talking About Organizations.